that link with the rainforest is in my DNA.
...83,000 square miles, home of a mesmerizing family of life forms, and a people whose nascent beauty is an enriched metamorphosis of blended genes, rise from beneath the folds of a restless Atlantic, crisscrossed by mighty rivers, climbs the steep slopes of the Pacaraimas to its mystical peak, Mount Roraima. In this forested trove thrives the blue morpho, tantalizing, beautiful, enigmatic.
Hello and welcome to The Journey, your radio show, hosted by Neville DeAngelou, author of A Soundbite Life and Flight of the Fused Monkeys, a PRG Emerging Technologies Forum keynote speaker and founder of Rio Sports. I am Joseph Ellison. Enjoy!
I am Neville. My guest is avid outdoorsman, educator, author, and poet, Rick Kalchman, chasing the blue morpho. Well, hello, Rick. Welcome back to The Journey.
Thank you for having me again.
Well, this is quicker than the last time. The last time took a long time. Yeah, I don't know if you believed I was going to get a hold of you so quickly.
Well, I was quite surprised that I was going to make the cut again in such short time.
Along the journey, we stop at intriguing places and meet fascinating people with novel solutions to some of life's tricky questions. And we play a few games and track the remarkable characters of three classic books, A Soundbite Life, Flight of the Fused Monkeys, and Illicet, A Time to Begin Again, all of which can be found on Amazon and Barnes & Noble.
Why would a person leave the comforts of New York City to take a daring trek to the land of many waters, Guyana? Home of the jaguar, the anaconda, and a bewildering variety of animals, the manatee, the ruthless tiger shark, and that enormous water monster, the whale shark. Have you seen him? And through the Rupununi savannas, remote and unchangeable, one of the largest wetlands in South America. Why? And through untamed lands, where the caiman lives, walking the length and breadth of a country, being mocked by howler monkeys.
There's something here for everyone.
I know, but there's a special reason I'm taking the rest of the globe with me today. You already know that Guyana is the world's fastest growing economy, and that it is a global hotspot for diversity. In fact, this very week came this revelation.
In terms of initial findings from this rapid inventory, we found over 710 species of vertebrates, over 400 species of plants, 22 species new records to Guyana, never before recorded in Guyana, 23 species might be new to science, and 16 are globally threatened. This is only the preliminary, and so our scientists will have to take these specimens to the museum, do DNA sequencing in order to fully understand the scale of the biodiversity in this corridor. And the idea and the hopes and the goals is that this information can be utilized by decision makers as they're considering priority areas for conservation in Guyana.
Yes, lots of awesome things are happening, but before I take you on this remarkable journey, let's find out from Rick Kalchman why it is that he wanted to trek the length and breadth of Guyana. You had as a childhood dream to walk the length and breadth of Guyana, which is in South America. Can you tell us about that dream, why that dream, and tell us how it turned out?
The rainforest as an idea is in my DNA, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
Let me explain. My great, great, great grandfather was in the Royal Navy, in the British Royal Navy. And incidentally, as his side gig was he was involved in the slave trade as a side gig. I think around that time the slave trade had been abolished, but then there were still others who were participating in it. And his side gig was dealing in the slave trade.
Hmm.
He was found out, and he was dishonorably discharged from the Royal Navy.
Mm-hmm.
And like most people did in Europe, and you know, especially those colonial countries, you know, when the shit hits the fan, they'll just relocate to the colonies, basically.
Mm-hmm.
And so, William Dodd Couchman was his name. William Dodd Couchman, he relocated to then British Guyana.
Mm-hmm.
To get involved in forestry.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, during that time, the then British Guiana was rich in forestry resource. Then there were other, you know, agricultural enterprises that the colonists were engaged in. But Mr. William Dodd Couchman, he got involved in forestry.
Mm-hmm.
And so he received a huge grant from the Crown. And this was somewhere in the upper Demerara River,
mm-hmm.
In a place called Golden Falls, where he started his forestry thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, and then I think at some point, I don't know, his partner or wife was a former slave. And he had two sons, one George Couchman and Charles Couchman.
Mm-hmm.
Charles Couchman was my great grandfather, and he ended up marrying an indigenous woman from the Akowayo tribe in Guyana.
Mm-hmm.
So of course, you know, they were living in the rainforest in the interior area of Guyana.
Mm-hmm.
And so this was their terrain, this was their location, right? My grandfather, James Couchman, he also owned a huge tracts of land because he was a woodsman, and that was his life, that's what they did. And so basically, I am, you know, that link with the rainforest is in my DNA, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's the first part.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second part is as a child growing up, I was essentially a dreamer, and I was an avid reader. The first book that I've ever read, I can remember reading, was this book by the British author Ballantyne. I can't remember his first name. The book was called Coral Island.
Mm-hmm.
And it was basically about a family that was shipwrecked on a desert island. And wow, what an adventure. And as a young child, I am like, whoa, you know, in heaven at being able to sort of vicariously participate in this adventure.
Mm-hmm.
And then at some point in primary school, I remember writing about, you know, a story about my being lost in the jungle, you know, and my teacher was quite impressed with that and, you know, went around showing the other teachers in this little primary school, you know, what a terrific job I had done as such. And so, and because I was such an avid reader, I was more interested in the sort of adventure type stories. And so I was exposed to, you know, in our time, Guyana was one of the sort of lead countries in literacy and education in the West Indies, as you know. And so we had available to us this wonderful resource of literature, mostly British literature, of course. And so I sunk my teeth into that kind of stuff and became exposed to the classics. And so we have Ulysses, a journey in the Odyssey that was also very captivating for this young lad. And then there was the Iliad, you know, the story of Hector and the great Achilles, you know, then there are stories like Don Quixote, King Arthur and the Knights of the Round Table, Quest for the Holy Grail, you know, so I was sort of pulled by these wonderful adventure stories, and so what created in my own mind my own scenario of sort of going out there into the world and you know, conquering and exploring and discovering and those kinds of things. Where Guyana comes into view is that when I was a child, I met an indigenous boy. We became friends for about a week, and he told me about this beautiful place called Rupununi in Guyana. And he taught me a song about the Rupununi, which I still remember, actually, and can, you know, I remember exactly the words of the song.
Can we hear it?
Yeah, the stars at night are big and bright down in the Rupununi. The savanna skies are wide and high down in the Rupununi. The trees in bloom and sweet perfume down in the Rupununi. So you know.
I didn't mean to stop you. I had memories, but go ahead.
Yeah, that captured me. Right. And because of my fantastic imagination, I could imagine myself, you know, on a horse riding in the Rupununi and, you know, discovering places and enjoying the beautiful outdoors and stuff like that. And then one other thing is that growing up, there's a song, the song of Guyana, or the Guyana song. Oh, beautiful Guyana, oh, my lovely native land. You remember those words?
Oh, yes,
right?
Yes.
So, the oh, beautiful Guyana and oh, my lovely native land. Again, I'm a romantic at heart. When I say romantic, I don't mean romantic in that sort of mawkish sense. I'm talking about romantic in that literary sense, where the imagination and passion is prominent.
I'm with you.
And because of that sort of romantic spirit in me, so I was sort of pulled into this world of the imagination, of going out into the savannas of Guyana, into the jungles of Guyana, and just enjoying the beauty of our country. And so that was my dream. Ever since I was a child, you know. And then, of course, I got involved in Boy Scouts, and that afforded me the opportunity to go out into the jungle, into the rainforest, and then in my late teen, one day I decided that I was just going to pack a rucksack, and this was, you know, this was a weekend. I would pack a rucksack, and I would put some food in it, and you know, whatever, and I would just leave home, and I would just go walking, and I would stop wherever night caught me.
Good.
Right. This was around, I was about 18 or 19 or something like that. And this is what I would do on weekends. And so, and of course, it's Guyana. And in the rural areas, you know, meadows and trees and, you know, that kind of stuff. And so I would just go and I would stop along the way And then when night caught up with me, I would find a place to sleep. And usually it would be in a church, because Guyana is inundated with churches and temples and stuff like that back then. And of course, they were always open and accessible. They were not huge buildings, but they were just very simple buildings in rural areas, far away from many houses and stuff like that. And, and usually placed in the center of some cemetery or something like that.
Right.
And so I remember one time I landed at this place. This was somewhere across the west bank of the Demerara River. And night had caught me, and I needed a place to sleep. And it was dark. There were no street lights or anything like that. And there was a church. And so I decided I was going to go into that church and sleep there for the night. The thing was, is that surrounding the church was a cemetery. And I had a decision to make, right? and so the listeners have got to understand that growing up in a traditional society, what people call superstitious elements are part of that society's worldview. Mm-hmm. So that was part of my worldview that was cemented in me. And so here I am in a church in the middle of a cemetery, and jumbies and, ghosts and, all those thoughts, basically. Mm-hmm. And I was very, very, very afraid, but that's really understating the case, so to speak. But the thing about me is that I hate being afraid. Mm. And so I am the kind of person, if I'm afraid, I will step into the thing that I'm afraid of. Mm. And so, but that night was it was a night to remember. But anyway, so,
I wish you could tell us, but go ahead.
Yeah, but that's I'm just giving the background to this adventurous spirit of mine. And then I also like the solitude that the adventure afforded me. It gave me an opportunity to watch and to listen and to wait, and not to speak, basically. Because who are you going to talk to? There's nobody to talk to. You're just there. With nature and, enjoying what nature has to offer. And then in 2016, I'm really cutting through a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. In 2016, the thought came to me. I said, wait a second. I have this dream of walking my country, the length and breadth of it. And I think about 5 years from retirement, the official age of retirement in the United States here. And I'm like, so wait a second, do I want to wait until then? There's no guarantee that, I'll be around to do this trip. So what I decided to do was that I was going to leave my job and I was going to go do this walk right now. Collect all my pension, ahead of time, early retirement pension and stuff like that, so that I can fund this trip. And that's what I did, basically. And by the way, this was not the first time I did something like that. When I was 19 years old, I might have said on your show the last time about the influence of evangelical Christianity on my life.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I had become a part of the evangelical community in my late teens. And one of my dreams was to actually become a missionary among the indigenous people in Guyana. Mm-hmm. Because of my own connection DNA connection to the indigenous people.
Mm-hmm.
And so I remember, and basically how I was going to do that was by, I was going to go into the Rupununi, to that place again, and I envisaged myself on a horse, because that's how many people traveled around at that time, and I was going to be an itinerant missionary.
Mm-hmm.
And so in anticipation of that, I left my job with, again, Telecommunications Corporation,
mm-hmm.
Waiting for this opportunity to go out and become this missionary. I didn't know how that was going to happen, but I was just sort of by faith doing that, because that was the sort of ethos of living the Christian life, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what I did. And those close to me were horrified. My siblings, mm-hmm. For whom I was responsible, that's another story, taking care of them, because my mother was, I'd left for the United States to try to make things better for us. My father had, by this time, passed away. And so I was the guy in charge of these four siblings.
Mm-hmm.
And so deciding to quit my job so that I could become this missionary was, what? You know, are you nuts, basically? But anyway, well, what ended up happening is that this dear friend of mine, Miriam Webster,
mm-hmm.
she persuaded me. She said, listen, you know, the time will come when that will happen, but let's wait a little bit more and get some more experience. To make a long story short, I listened to her wise counsel and went back to the job and told them that I'd like to get my job back, which they graciously did. But so what I'm basically doing is making a link between my leaving my job to fulfill this missionary dream as this 19-year-old, and in 2016, when I decided I was going to leave my job before retirement to go walk my country. Now, this time, there's nobody who could talk me out of it. That was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so I made the preparation. I didn't tell, I didn't talk much about this enterprise, because I figured, you know, people would, you know, say, oh, you're crazy. And, you know, so of course, when I did say it, many people thought that I was crazy. A few thought that, you know, wow, that's quite an adventure to go on, and sort of were backing me on it. But nonetheless, I was resolute, and I decided that I was going to go come hell or high water, right? Now, the intent at that particular point, the objective of this at that point, was to experience the beauty of my country, experience the beauty of my people, and to experience it up close and personal, to experience it firsthand. That's why I decided that I want to walk it, not just, you know, go on a do what people would do, go on a tour and drive in or fly in and you know, that kind of stuff. No. I wanted to live off the land and walk through every village, walk through, you know, every part of the rainforest, wherever, you know, I could get access. And that was the plan. And like I said, it was to experience the beauty of this wonderful country that I've been hearing about as a child. So, yes, that was the plan.
You are on the journey, and it's time for our question of the week.
Our question of the week is this: what is, or was, your most daring dream, and why? What is, or was, your most daring dream, and why? Thank you. You are on the journey with Neville. The Journey's home base is thejourney.ryosports.com. That is, The Journey, put together as one word, thejourney.ryosports. Ryosports is spelled ryosports.com. thejourney.ryosports.com. Visit us there. You'll find a plethora of free goodies, activities, classes, games, etc., etc. We are a collaborative community of beautiful people devoted to encouraging each other along the way. Visit us there at thejourney.ryosports.com. The color blue is rare in nature and is last of the colors to have been named in the English language. It has a fascinating history. It symbolizes confidence and authority that is non-invasive and objective. In our environment, it exhibits some intriguing properties. It is the color of the sky and water and may represent peace and serenity. The blue morpho is native to rainforests of Central and South America, as well as Mexico, and is one of the world's largest butterflies. Chasing the blue morpho. In our next segment, our guest Rick Couchman would lead us on the first leg of that three-legged journey. The jaguar is gonna eat you. It has twists and turns we will not readily anticipate. This is a Guyana adventure. Chasing the Blue Morpho.
The Journey is available free on iTunes, Blog Talk Radio, Rio Sports Radio, and several of your favorite internet platforms. Download, embed, and share via any of the social media you love.
See you next week.
This is Ashley Agonetti from the Almost Famous podcast. Can you believe all this talk about GLP-1s? Of course you can. It's all people talk about. Have you heard about Future Health, though? They make access to qualified doctors that know GLP-1s easier than ever. People can struggle with weight loss for years, trying various diets and exercises without lasting success. With GLP-1s, many people notice a reduction in cravings and felt more in control of their eating habits, which lead to weight loss, physical health, and feeling more optimistic about their future. They give millions of people affordable access to knowledgeable providers who really know weight loss medications for less than $3 a day. Find out if weight loss meds are right for you in 3 minutes at tryfh.com. That is tryfh.com. Again, tryfh.com.
Tryfh.com.
Future Health is not a healthcare services provider. Meds are prescribed at provider's discretion. Results may vary. Sponsored by Future Health.
It is Ryan Seacrest here. Everybody needs some variety in life. That's what I love about Chumba Casino. They know how to keep things fresh and exciting. All their games are free to play. Like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire. You can claim free daily login bonuses too. And they release new games every week. So spice things up with ChumbaCasino.com now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply.